بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي يا مولاي، صلى الله عليك وعلى آلك المعصومين المظلومين. لعن الله الظالمين لكم من الأولين والآخرين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، صلى الله عليك يا ابن عمي يا ابن عمي رسول الله، ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمنا يا من التجأ إليكم سادتي. يا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز فوزا عظيما. قد أوهنت الديار الخالية من أهلها ما للديار ومالية، empty homes have weakened my patience, empty of their residence. What is wrong with these houses, and what is wrong with me? Whenever I ask these houses of Ahlul Bayt of their residence, the echo of my question comes back to me. These houses used to be a haven to which the afflicted would come for salvation. But now these houses are all full. They are full of afflictions that have all gathered in it. All the sections of these houses have turned into majalis, majalis for their residents. And do you not see that there is nobody in these houses Accept the announcer of death, the announcers of death of their residence. Imam Hussein left their house. He went to Iraq thinking that they had left hypocrisy, but they had remained like they were. They invited him for a purpose, so he answered them. But when he called them to guidance, they refused his messenger and killed him. Their hearts had become stiff with misguidance and did not incline to guidance. Woe unto those cruel hearts for what they did to my Imam. He did not taste the taste of their furat. But how did my Imam die? He died thirsty, and he was bathed in ghusl with his own blood. O son of the Prophet Mustafa and his successor, O brother of the pure and son of Batul the pure, my eye cries not for any thawab, but instead my eyes truly cry for you, Imam. How is it that Karbala becomes drenched with your blood, and it does not become drenched with my tears? Your tragedy has made us forget all our tragedies, or tragedies that have preceded and those tragedies to come. All disasters of life remain for a time, but however, your tragedy will remain till the day of Qiyamah. Zainab alayha salam says if she says to her brother, O Hussein, O son of my mother, O slaughtered, for you do we cry, for you do we weep and feel sad. O you who remain bare with your body full of wounds, Zainab is leaving for Sham. Zainab is leaving for Sham. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. علي العظيم وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل بيت محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. قال الإمام الحسين عليه السلام في وصيتهم: إنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي. صدق إمامنا الحسين عليه السلام. In order to hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Continuing in the topic that I had started a couple of days ago, or to be more precise, yesterday, when I had started to talk about reform that Imam Hussein alayhi salam titled his uprising with, I again, in the khutbah right now, I have quoted that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he said that I've only uprised in order to seek reform in the ummah and the nation of my grandfather. Yesterday, we talked about the linguistic meaning of uprising the for reform, the meaning of islah and salah, meaning that something that is straightforward, that is according to what Allah Azza wa Jal has created it. It is according to its natural disposition, that is for something to be salih. And for a person to want to perform islah is that this thing may have gone astray from its natural qualities, its natural disposition, however this thing may be created. Islah is for someone to come and return that thing back. We also said that, as we found in the Holy Quran, as-salah and islah, this is a concept that in many verses of the Holy Quran is only understood when we take into consideration as well its opposite, which is fasad, that is to say corruptness. So fasad is for something to have gone to one of the two extremes. Islah, on the other hand, is to try and bring that thing back. When we understand this, we can then also come to understand then that salah or islah, this is very closely related to the concept of al-amal al-salih, that is to say a good deed. This good deed in the Holy Quran, whenever Allah Azza wa Jal mentions them, these good deeds and those who do good, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions one of the key characteristics and conditions of a good deed, which is iman, which is faith, that you have to have a correct belief system, and from this belief system it should be such that it affects you to the extent that it makes you do these good things. So normally then a good deed is the result of a correct belief system. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we saw and mentioned some of the facets or some of the manifestations of corruption in his society at that time. Just to mention a couple of them, one of them the fact that a person who was not suitable to lead the Islamic Ummah, he came and sat on the throne. One of the other matters was that the caliphate was turned into a personal monarchy. Another fact was the fact that there was a lot of deviation and diversion from the path of the true principles of Islam. That is to say, we started to have new kinds of innovations and bid'ah in Islam. Also, the fact that materialism had also entered the hearts of the Muslims at that time. So, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he wanted this salah, he had to start with the proper belief system, which is one of the main conditions of salah and islah. He wanted to focus on this, the fact that the principles that have been brought into Islam, these are not true principles of Islam, these were alien to Islam. So, he wanted to start from the beginning, from the root. And thereat, he wanted to bring the ummah back to how it was from the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yesterday I mentioned then some of these facets or manifestations of the corruption, that is to say the opposite of salah and islah. Right now I would like to mention some very general manifestations or practical ways, or ways actually, not practical ways. These practical ways, I will mention them inshallah in tomorrow's lecture. However, I would like to give the general titles of what the Imam wanted to focus on in his uprising of reform. Number one, our Imam alayhi salam wanted to focus on one thing, which is that the people's interest and their connection, their practicingness, if I were to say, of religion had gone back. To them, religion was something secondary. A new concept had entered due to Muawiyah's propaganda into Islam, that faith is enough for it to be in your heart. This is something we find a lot and we hear a lot among our youth and many people in the society, in our Muslim society and in others, that I'm a person, I believe in my heart. Isn't that enough? I'm a good person in my heart. No. Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to focus on the true belief. That is to say, belief is other than Islam and a'tiqad. That is to say, to be a Muslim and to have that belief in your mind, to be convinced
by the principles of Islam. No, he wanted there to be practicingness, devoutness among the Muslims. So when you have iman, iman is something that translates in your body. If I have iman in my heart, this iman will be apparent on my face, on my facial features, on what I do, if I have nur in my face or not. All of this is related. So this concept had to be changed from the Muslims, from their minds. Number two, we had these deviations from Islam. We had many concepts that were brought into Islam. For instance, one of them was an aqaidi concept also introduced by the rulers. The fact that the ruler is the shadow of Allah Azza wa Jalla, ma'adallah. The ruler is the shadow of Allah. So whatever he does, it is from Allah. So in essence, whatever Muawiyah and his like were doing, and Yazid, they actually wanted to blame Allah Azza wa Jalla for that. They were taking away the will of the Ummah by drugging them with such thoughts. When you give someone such a thought, and you have what the preachers of the palace, the Wa'adha Salateen, those kind of quote-unquote ulamas, when they give you such a thought, in essence, they are drugging you. Because if you have any will thereafter to try and overcome such a tyrant and overcome such policies, if you have such a belief, you're not going to do anything. This is a problem that we face today. When you have the Muslim Ummah being ruled by a bunch of people who do not have any of the characteristics necessary to rule a Muslim nation, when you have such people ruling, and at the same time when you have the Muslim Ummah sitting and sleeping, actually not doing anything, in a deep slumber, know that this has such roots. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, 1300 plus years ago, he addressed this issue. Continuing, one of the things that Imam Hussein alayhi salam also wanted to do is the fact that during this time, this is something that I referred to in one of my previous lectures, maybe in Salat al-Jum'ah today, the fact that Islam during that time, what starting from Muawiyah, from his time, what was happening is that the religious and spiritual side of Islam was being separated from anything called politics, social policies and social politics. Islam at that time was being affected by such thoughts. So what these people they were doing, they would find people like Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar. He was known to have weight, he was a weighty personality. And even according to history, during the time of the Umayyads, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to go to Kufa, and Muslim alayhi salam had reached Kufa before him, one of the personalities that went in order to aid him was Al-Mukhtar al-Thaqafi. Mukhtar, when Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad came to Kufa, he was taken, he was thrown into prison. He remained in prison until after the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, so he missed it. However, a while later, he sent a message to Abdullah ibn Umar, according to history, some historical texts. They say, it was then Abdullah ibn Umar who wrote to the Umayyad government at that time to release him. So this person had a weighty personality. However, this personality was inflicted with a thought that he did not want to go into the political arena. So what he was doing is that he was just sitting, performing his ibadah, and leaving the filth, quote-unquote, of the dunya to those others. And some of these hukam, actually, they would pretend if an ascetic, a zahid, an abid would come to them, they would make fun of them. They would say, leave the filth of this dunya. Leave all of this dirtiness to us. You stay pure and clean. You go and perform your ibadah. Leave, stay with these pure things. Leave this filth to us, making fun of them. So this is something that was going on. This was a practice that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the purest of creation during that time, he wanted to annul. He wanted to tackle this. That's no. Just like the Holy Prophet, the purest of personalities, he had both of these two dimensions as a personality. Islam is a complete message. It is a complete message that addresses everything. So there are for me to, or for people to believe that this is separate from that, is incorrect. Following that, there is something that was happening in the Islamic Ummah and in the government. This is something that I referred to before, the fact that the appearance or the caliphate, it had changed from a caliphate into a monarchy. In other words, if I were to put it in sociological terms, that is to say, it turned into individualism. It in turn into individualism. That is to say, the person who is important is no more the caliph nor the ummah. No. The person who is important is Fulan al-Fulan as the ruler, as the governor. He turned into the important personality. So it became, in other words, an Umayyad thing. It was their power. However, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, with his uprising, he wanted to fight this principle. That these people are usurpers. And Islam is not about individualism. It's not about me or you. It's not about one person. It's about the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is about Allah Azza wa Jalla. And thereat we find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, during the different stages of his uprising, he was always referring to Allah Azza wa Jalla. The most apparent reference to Allah Azza wa Jalla was that dua of Arafah that he recited, alayhi salam, that he recited, and in it we find that his message, that what the message that he wanted to bring in his uprising, we find all of it present over there. Look at how he was speaking to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That Allah, He is the source of everything and He is the goal. It's not us as individuals. Some people may say, and this is actually an answer to what some people may say, that no, Imam Hussein wanted to rule. This is according to what some of the other schools accuse Imam Hussein alayhi salam of. No, he actually just wanted to gain power. And so Imam Hussein wanted to gain power from Yazid, but Yazid killed Imam Hussein, and it was something political. No, it wasn't something political. It was political and it was about Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam, number one, he was successful in his uprising. The goals that he wanted to achieve, they were achieved. Today, the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, tashayyu' Shi'aism, the true Islam, it continues, correct or not. However, if it was only about Hussein, the name Hussein, him as a person, cutting and leaving aside all the sacredness that is related to Imam Hussein as a personality. Just take him as a person. If it was about him as a person, then according to these, to this criteria, he failed. Why? Because he was killed. He was martyred over there. So no, because Imam Hussein alayhi salam's message has continued till today, and the name of Allahu Akbar and Allahu Akbar remains till today, thereat we find that his goals may have been something different, and in essence, like I presented, his goals were different. It was Islah of the Ummah of the Holy Prophet, the Prophet of Allah. When one of the companions comes to our Imam and they ask the Imam, who was successful in the uprising on the Battle of Karbala? So the Imam tells this person, wait until the Adhan comes and listen to the Adhan, and then you will know who is successful. When you listen to that name, when you listen to Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, then you will come to know who was successful in Karbala. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Another matter that Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to focus on was the fact that during that time, there was something that entered Islam. There was a poison that entered Islam, which is, in essence, the thought of pluralism. That is to say, I'm a Muslim and you're a Muslim. However, I have an understanding of Islam. That's to say, if I'm a scholar and both of you are scholars, inshallah that may all become scholars and be scholars. Me and you, we have understandings of Islam. But both of us are correct. Islam has no one set truth No, that truth is according to what I understand and according to what you understand. So it is open to interpretations. Me, for example, I may see it correct to pray Salat al-Maghrib 3 rakat. You may consider 3.5, but both of us may be correct. Now this had entered Islam. This thought had entered Islam. Thereat, you find so many innovations and bid'at and practices that had entered into Islam. However, Imam Hussein alayhi salam came to show that the true source for anybody to gain rules and to learn about Islam is the household of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. These teachings can only be derived from them, can be learned from them. Why? Because of the fact that it was they who were taught directly by the Holy Prophet, and it is they who are the infallibles, who are inspired by Allah Azza wa Jal, who have the knowledge of the unseen. They have the ultimate knowledge. Islam is one, it has one interpretation. It is not correct for one person to say that Allah Azza wa Jal can force someone to do something, and on the other hand, another person is also correct in saying that Allah Azza wa Jal cannot force someone. No, there is one truth. He is la ma'adallah, either does force someone, either he doesn't. Otherwise, had pluralism in that time and in the thought of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, had it been acceptable, then Yazid was acting according to his understanding, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam was acting according to his understanding. So there would have not been any justification for Imam Hussein to go and uprise against Yazid and this Ummah we thought. There would not have been any justification. But when the Imam then did uprise, that meant that one Islam was correct, and it is one Islam that is true. These other interpretations, these other understandings, they are not correct. One final general point that I would like to end this part of the lecture with is the fact that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his uprising then, when he saw, like I said yesterday, that when you want to come and perform islah, reform, you have to know how much and where the deviations have taken place, where the fasad is. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he came to the ummah, he saw there is fasad in terms of ahkam. There are so many ahkam that have been introduced into Islam and innovated that are not from Islam. There is a lot of beliefs and aqa'id that have been entered, introduced into Islam and innovated, they are not from Islam. There is a lot of akhlaq that is non-Islamic akhlaq, love of this dunya, zulm. A lot of this had entered into Islam and this was not Islam. People, Muslims, have started to take riba, interest. This was not from Islam. Knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jal, the qualities of Allah Azza wa Jal, the attributes, what Allah does and He does not do. All of this had been deviated in the minds of the Muslims. They had gone astray from the straight path. Thereat, Imam Hussein alayhi salam's, his reform was comprehensive. It was not only about akhlaq. There he might have, it would have been maybe sufficient at that time then for him to open a hawza maybe and teach akhlaq. It was not about only ahkam. It would maybe have been enough for him to teach ahkam. No, it was about everything, starting from the personal level to the social level and then even going to the political level. This is with regards to some of the main points about how and on what the Imam wanted to focus on in general, some of the general thoughts. Inshallah, we'll go into some details tomorrow. However, there is one question that comes to the mind, that reform, this term, was Imam Hussein alayhi salam the first person to start reform in history? Was this reform of Imam Hussein the first reform in history? To be a little bit more precise, in the history of the Masumeen, of the infallible, starting from the prophets to the Imams, was our Imam Hussein alayhi salam the first person to carry out a reform or not? If we refer to the lives of all of our prophets, we find that each and every one of them actually had been sent to carry out a kind of reform, to carry out reform, but to a certain extent, to a certain point, and in a certain way. with regards to certain matters. Why is that? Why has reform started from the beginning? This is because of the fact that the path to perfection and the moving and the change within an ummah, in the akhlaq of an ummah, in the thoughts of an ummah, of civilization, this is something that is related to the free will of a human being and the free will of a society. This free will of a society can take the ummah either this way, either that way. So thereat, Allah Azza wa Jal, from the very beginning, He sent teachers and reformers, teachers to take the people on the straight path. Thereat, we find Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He says in Nahj al-Balagha that this earth can never be empty of a hujjah, of a proof of Allah Azza wa Jal. That proof may be apparent, that person may be apparent, known to everyone, like during the time of the prophets and the imams, or that person can be hidden, that hujjah, that proof can be hidden, like during the time of our tough imam right now. Ajallah ta'ala for the shaykh. So, thereat, hujjah has always been present in order to carry out reform, if we were to use the word reform, in order to guide, also related to the word reform. The hujjah has always been present. Let us now just take a few examples in history in order to see how the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam compares to those uprisings, to those reformations in history. The first example that I would like to take is the example of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. We find that Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, he carried out a reform in his society. Just before explaining about his reform, I just would like to make one point, the fact that Imam Hussein, it is not that right now we're studying his reform just like that, just out of a question. No. The fact of the matter is that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he carried out his reform, he actually connected his reform to those reforms before. With this regard, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, مَا أَوْلَهَنِي إِلَىٰ أَسْلَافِ اشْتِيَاقَ يَعْقُوبَ إِلَىٰ يُوسُفِ وَخَيْرٌ لِي مَصْرَعٌ أَنَا لَاقِي. That is to say, how much I love and how much I miss my predecessors. He is giving us that historical depth. He is thinking about their reforms. He's thinking about what has happened to them and what reforms they carried out and what he is going to carry out. So he is connecting all of this to history, to something natural, to a natural pattern. Thereat, we come to understand that reform is something continuous. It happens. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam is known to be the Shaykh of the Prophets, that is to say, the grand personality of the Prophets, the teacher of the Prophets. In essence, he was the father of the Prophets as well, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. And one of the personalities that we find in Ziyarat Warith, from whom Imam Hussain alayhi salam inherited certain characteristics, is Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Now, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, how was his Islah, his reform? We find that during the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, the human society, the human civilization had not reached certain level that there was a state, that there was a government. There were societies, people were living, there were families. However, the human civilization had not reached such a state that there was one central government, or maybe more than one central government. There was no central government during that time. So thereat, we find that for approximately 900 years and more, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam called his people. He was trying to carry out reform then on a social level. He was calling them, and his method of calling them, his message was restricted to that. Come, believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. Carry out and abide by these humane principles. Do not oppress the weak. Worship Allah. Do not take idols as your gods, etc. We find that this da'wah, this call to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and this reform, it continued for around 900 years, 900 plus. During this time, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam did not go in an all-out confrontation with the people. No, he kept on calling them. They kept on mocking the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, having so many different ways in order to try to ridicule from the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, who was troubles for him. However, the Prophet continued and he was trying to evade any direct confrontation with them. However, and this is something that is similar when we look at Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. Imam al-Hassan during the time of Muawiyah and what happened, he was trying to follow this principle as well, to try as much to work on the society then, to avoid during that time a direct confrontation. The Ummah was not ready during that time. Those nucleus, that nucleus of Mu'mineen would have been destroyed. However, where is the similarity between Imam Hussein and Nabi Nuh alayhi salam? Where is it? At the end, when Nabi Nuh alayhi salam found that nobody was responding, we find that there came a point of direct confrontation. When was that? That was when Nabi Nuh alayhi salam prayed for Allah Azza wa Jal to reveal, to make that punishment descend upon them. And the flood happened. At the same time, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, on the same note, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, after this period of peaceful attempts to cause reform, they were not successful, and new developments happened by Yazid coming to power. We find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam also reached that point of confrontation, and his confrontation was with his uprising. So this is one thing that we find is in common with the uprising of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. So this is with regards to Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. If we look at the Ummah again during that time, the Ummah during that time had reached a level that it was not able anymore to tell what is correct and what is wrong, what is right and what is wrong. It had lost that balance and that power to even differentiate between what is right and wrong. Even the right was made wrong and the wrong was made right. It is not that only they were not able to know what right is. They wanted right, no. They turned the right into wrong and the wrong into right, just like it's referred to in some of the narrations of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A second prophet, another prophet of Ulul Azm. If we look at Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, the father of the prophets, we find during his time and actually is different to the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, is the fact that during his time a central state had come into position, had come into place. You had a government, the government of Namrud at that time in Babylon. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was living in a government, he was living under certain rules, legislations, there was an army, he was living in this kind of situation, this kind of country. However, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, if we look at the way he was calling people and what his message was, we find that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam find that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was facing such a power. However, if we look at his message, if we look at that immortal dialogue that he had with that group of people, that why are you worshipping the sun? Why are you worshipping the moon? Or and he was saying that I would like to worship these. We find that he was talking to the people. He was not in direct confrontation with the state. He was talking to the people. At that, we find
At that we find Imam Hussein alayhi salam also started. Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam also started. They tried to work with the people. They worked with the people as much as was possible. This is the first point of similarity. Second point, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, instead of having in the end a direct confrontation, his confrontation was different with the Qawm of Namrud. In the end, when he saw that these people, they are not accepting this message, what did he do? In the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla, of course, before this thing that I would like to mention, which is the hijrah, the migration, the step that he took, that also Imam Hussein alayhi salam took, he had a confrontation, but to a certain extent with them. In that, he said, as we find in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Anbiya, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ قالوا من فعل هذا بآلهتنا إنه لمن الظالمين صدق الله العلي العظيم. He said that by Allah I shall certainly carry out my plan against your gods after you are gone. Then he broke them all to pieces except the big one so that they may refer to it. When they saw their idols in the state, they said, who has done this to your gods? Truly he is an oppressor. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, of course, like this happened in Karbala, he went during all of this journey. He was mentioning and he was talking about what Yazid and what the Umayyads are. He was trying to make the people wake up. The second step that I wanted to mention is the step of the hijrah. After Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam saw that these people in the end, their minds are locked. I can't affect them. So the step that he took is the step of migration. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, quoting Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ in Surah As-Saffat, that I'm going to my Lord, surely He will guide me. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, after those 18,000 or maybe according to some historical sources more letters came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he also then sought to migrate. The government of Yazid in Medina, it had some power. However, due to the fact, and this is actually a socio-political theory that we know even in modern days to be true, is the fact that the power and authority of any set government is at its strongest in its capital and those areas around it. However, in the distance areas and the peripheries, that state's power is not that strong. That is why the Imam, in the end, he chose to go to Kufa. In Kufa, the power of the Umayyads at that time, the military power, the political power, was not as strong. In Hijaz, in Medina, it was a little bit stronger, but over there, it was not that strong. So that is why he then chose to migrate over there. A final prophet that we will look at today is Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and then we'll continue with the discussion tomorrow. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, during his time now, it was different from the time of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, a grand empire had come into shape. The empire of the pharaohs, which lasted for around 3,000 years. And according to historians, it is said that Nabi Musa alayhi salam, he lived around 1,400, 1,300 plus BC. So at this time, if I'm not mistaken, this was the time of the new kingdom. The new kingdom of the pharaohs. And at that time, the upper and lower kingdom of Egypt, these two kingdoms, they had united, and the power and the political influence of the Egyptian pharaoh government of that time had reached a really high level. Let us see what kind of reform Nabi Musa alayhi salam tried to do. But first, let's recite as loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, if we had looked at Nabi Nuh alayhi salam and Nabi Ibrahim, we found that these two prophets, they came straight to the society in order to try to cause reform in them.
However, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, the approach that he took was different. What was it? Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran with regards to Nabi Musa, he tells him where to start his reform. What does he say? Allah says, إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى إِذْهَبْ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah An-Nazi'at, when his Lord called him in the sacred valley of Tuwa, he told him, go to Fir'aun, truly he has rebelled. So, now we find that Nabi Musa alayhi salam, straight away, where did he start his reform? He went to the head of the hierarchy in order to try and start the reform over there. At that time, as we see, the society of the Egyptians, at that time, that polytheistic society, that society was materialistic. That society was materialistic. And Nabi Musa alayhi salam, during that time, he was ordered to go then to start this reform and to try and bring religiousness and devoutness to religion. But he had to start by the state. Because why? The people of that time, they would not dare accept any belief system if the Pharaoh of the time, he had not agreed. You find in the history of the Egyptians that every now and then, that it is the Pharaoh who decrees what they should believe in. You find, for instance, that during the older kingdom, that they had a certain set of gods. A few centuries later, some pharaohs would come, they would change, they would say, now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 have also become gods. So the people would also take them gods. So during that time then, these people, they would refer only to the Pharaoh, and it would be the Pharaoh who would decide if they had to take this or that, or they would have to change their beliefs or not. Now, Nabi Musa alayhi salam then, he went to that society. So he went straight in order to try and start with the Pharaoh. He went to start with the Pharaoh. Okay, what kind of message did he bring? When we talk about the Tawrat and we talk about the Alwah and the tablets that Nabi Musa alayhi salam was given, Allah Azza wa Jal says about these tablets, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْعِذَةً وَتَفْصِيلًا وَلِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَخُذْهَا بِقُوَّةٍ وَأْمُرْ قَوْمَكَ يَأْخُذُوا بِأَحْسَنِهَا سَأُرِيكُمْ دَارَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. And we ordained for Musa in the tablets all manner of admonition, of advice, and instruction concerning all things, everything, legislations to be applied. And said to him, hold to these and take them with strength and bide your people to follow them, and according to them they must act, in accord with them with the best of understandings. And I will show you soon the habitation, the place where the wicked live. This is something that was not seen before. Now, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he went, but he went to the what? To the society. Nabi Musa alayhi salam went straight to the state, and he brought a dustur, he brought a constitution for them that they had to apply in order to turn that society, which was materialistic, into a God-believing society. He brought everything, he even brought the constitutions for them. This was something that was not found before. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his point of similarity is this as well. That during this uprising, after reform was tried during the time of Imam Ali, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, but in the end it was not possible. They reached a point of confrontation. And so Imam Hussein alayhi salam, instead of going to Yazid then and try to make him a mu'min, like Nabi Musa alayhi salam was ordered, this time Imam Hussein alayhi salam, just like the Tawrat, he wanted to bring the same Islam, the constitutions of Islam, these legislations, and try to apply them by forming that government of his in Kufa. This government that Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to apply, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he left in order to try and fulfill this goal. He left on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. He left Makkah because Yazid la'natullah alayhi, he had given an order to kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even if he was attached by the curtains of the Holy Kaaba. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, during this time, his goal of remaining in Mecca for these few months was that he wanted to focus on the Hajjis. Just like his grandfather before him had focused on the Hajjis in order to tell them who the successor after him was going to be. So all the Hajjis who would come from the different parts, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was calling for them to come to his aid. He was trying to carry out this reform on the social level. During that time, Imam Hussein alayhi salam stayed with Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, his great uncle. Following that, on the 8th then of Dhul Hijjah, Imam Hussein alayhi salam started his journey towards Iraq. On the way, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam reached the borders of Iraq, Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, he met our Imam on the way. When he met the Imam on the way, the Imam had almost 2,000 soldiers. Hur had around 1,000 soldiers plus. But the situation of Hur, his army, was that they were extremely thirsty and they were about to die of thirst. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, unlike what they were going to do to him, he ordered for the men to be given water and for the horses to be given a small amount of water as well. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as he continued, and the Qafila, the caravan continued. Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, whenever the Imam wanted to go to a different place, Hur would not let him. The Imam asked, "Let me pass, let me go to Kufa." Hur blocked his passage. According to some narrations as well, the Imam asked him, "Let me go, let me leave the area itself," and told him, "Let me go away." But Hur did not accept until he brought the Imam to an area. The Imam had a guide with him. The Imam had a guide with him. And this guide, when he was asked by the Imam, "Where is this area? What is this place that we have reached to? What is it called?" This guide says, "This area is called Taf." The Imam said, "Does it have another name?" He said, "Al-Ghadiriya." He said, "Does it have another name?" He said, "Nainawa." He said, "Does it have another name?" He said, "Yes. It's also called Karbala." The Imam says, "Karbala, truly. This is the area. This is the area that we are going to camp in. This is the area in which our blood is going to be spilled. This is the area in which our women folk are going to be hurt. They're going to transgress against them. And my grandfather, he told me about this area. And his promise was truly true. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله." On this day, the women folk came with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. These women folk, they came with Imam Hussein in honor. They came with the Imam, and they came with all the men folk to Karbala. They came with the Hashimi flags rising above them. And whenever one of the ladies would lift their head, they would see the banner of Abu al-Fadl Abbas lifted high. And they would all be surrounded by the men folk protecting them. Truly, this is how they were brought to Karbala. However, my heart breaks when I think of the way that they left Karbala instead of Abu al-Fadl Abbas. Shimr al-Ain was on their right, Zajr al-Ain was to their left,
When they raised up their heads, they would not see the banner of Abu al-Fadl. Instead, they would see the heads of my Imam and Abu al-Fadl Abbas raised high. They would see the heads of Qasim, Ali al-Akbar, and Ali al-Asghar lifted high above them, looking at them. O Imam Hussein, these are your women folk, but who is marching them in their captivity? O my Imam, I ask you, is it befitting that Zajr Lain, he leads them and marches them, and Shimr, he curses your father? How strange it is that yesterday you were protecting them, but today Banu Umayyah, they are exposing them. What do the women folks say? They say, we march with tears on our faces. The sorrow in our heart is like mountains crushing our hearts. After that guardian, Abu al-Fadl, who was known for his gentleness, that brother whose hands were cut off, and after those youth, after that youth, Ali al-Akbar, who resembled the Prophet so much. Is it Shimr who leads my camel? Is it Shimr who hits us with his whip on our shoulders whenever we cry for Imam Hussein? And how much Zainab prayed, shedding tears from her eyes. This is Karbala, and in it was fire burnt in the heart. I cry for noble ones who were killed in Tufuf. Yesterday they were here with me, however today they have gone and left in the bottom of my heart. They have left a fire in the bottom of my heart. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa sayya'lamu alladhina zalamu ala bayti Muhammadin. Ayyamun qalbi yanqalibun wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. Ya Allah. Allahumma, we ask you by the right of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, by the right of the marches of Karbala, O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam and protect him, Ya Allah. O Allah, grant us your proximity and the proximity of your Imam, Ya Allah. O Allah, forgive our sins and accept our amal, Ya Allah. O Allah, lift all calamities from us and from all Shias of Ahlul Bayt, Ya Allah. O Allah, O Allah, the founders of these majalis, O Allah, protect them and accept our amal, Ya Allah. O Allah, send the thawab of these majalis and loud salawat with Surah Al-Fatiha for Al-Mu'mineen. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.